أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نعبده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم Sisters and brothers in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair. It's good to see the sunnah is alive. Okay. Subhanallah. First of all, before I begin, I would love to acknowledge the young people that were up here before I came on. Because subhanallah, the courage and the fortitude and the wisdom and the hikmah that they embody and that they represented here today, alhamdulillah, gives me great hope, inshallah, in the future of the Muslim Ummah. Because to put yourself in the front line the way they did today, to speak about the issues that we as adults find difficult to talk about, and then to receive the criticism that they do and still go on doing what they do, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, is a reason for all of us to say shukr alhamdulillah. The topic that has been given to me, of course, I'm one of those who does workshops for 3 days and 4 days on this topic, has been asked to talk in 15 minutes. Inshallah, I will try. I'm assuming that I'm speaking to people who are not counselors but would like to know, as lay people, what the issues are and how to best address them. So I'm not going to try and train you, and do not consider yourselves counselors after you leave this room, but inshallah share with each other what we see in our line of work. When we talk about counseling families, one thing needs to be understood, that when we are talking either about children or parents in Islam or within the Muslim frame of reference or the Muslim cultures, what works is family counseling. Individual counseling has not and cannot work for us in many, many issues. And the reason being that our whole idea, our whole world view is based on we and not I. Okay, so when you go to the mainstream of counseling, their ideal is self-actualization, individual fulfillment, and individual growth. Individual growth, work in the community, and how we can, as a cohesive community, function and grow and get stronger with it. So this is one thing that needs to be understood. If a child is having problems with drugs, for example, yes, you can take them to drug rehabilitation, you can take them through the 12-step, whatever. But eventually you will have to sit down with that child and with that family to counsel. Because the way Islam approaches concerns and problems, and remember, and this is one thing I really, really want everybody to understand, Islam is not a magic pill. Okay? So just to say I'm a Muslim does not mean I'm not going to have problems. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do you think that you will say I believe and that you will not be tried? In fact, you will be tried more. Look at the prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were tried through the children who denied Allah. You and I would think we would die if our children were to come today and say that they have renounced the faith. Well, guess what? The children of the prophets did. Their spouses did. They were tried. And so will we. So magic pill, forget it. It's a process. It's an evolution. It is a tarbiyah. It is not a magic pill. And by you thinking that I send my child to a halaqa and tomorrow he will have no problems, forget it. Problems are part of life. Till the day we die, we will have problems. Okay? The fact is, what do we do about them? How do we go beyond them? How do we address them? How do we manage them? How do we take care of them? That is what our challenge is, inshallah. So what do we do as families? A lot of has been said by our young people, but I would like perhaps first of all to understand the question. What is the problem? Is the problem drugs? Is the problem that our youths want to date? Is the problem that there is alcohol? Is the problem that they want to have girlfriends and boyfriends or the marriage? What is the problem? Because unless you do not diagnose, you cannot have a treatment. And just by saying the symptoms, we are seeing youths do this, we are seeing youths, you know, to me this is all symptom. This is not the cause. And we have to look deeper to find the cause. And the cause is that the Muslim family is not based on the principles that it is supposed to be based on. And what are those two cardinal principles that the fuqaha, the scholars have told us? That if the Muslim family is based on those two principles, it doesn't mean that they won't have problems, but they will have a mechanism thereby they will be able to deal with the problems in a constructive way. And brothers and sisters, what are those two cardinal principles? They are rahmah, mercy, and shura, consultation. And I can tell you today, as a counselor of 20 years of dealing with Muslims, not only in Canada, but in states and in Europe, who call me for counseling, every time I see a dysfunctional family, I can tell you that they are not based on these two principles. When we say rahmah, when we say mercy, we take this word for granted. It's not a noun, it's a verb. A verb means it's action. It's action-oriented term. To have mercy means to have kindness. To have mercy means to care. To have mercy means to have forgiveness. And now look at ourselves. We say we are passing judgments on our parents and our children. Why? Because we don't have forgiveness. We are judgmental. When we say mercy, to us it is merely a word. It is not being actualized in our relationship. The three factors that I call the three M's, which if are not present in a Muslim family, constitute it a dysfunctional family. And do you know what those three M's are? First, of course, as we talked about, is mercy, rahmah. Because if you have forgiveness, if you have caring, if you have kindness, and if you have love, those are the ingredients that keeps a family together. The second M is modesty, haya. If you do not have modesty in your families, you are a dysfunctional family. Because what is haya, what is modesty? It is three kinds. First, the haya with yourself, that you will not cross the bounds. The second is haya with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, perhaps the first one, that you will not cross the hudud of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the had that has been laid by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do not have that internal haya with your Creator, there are no boundaries. It's very easy to cross over. Because Allah knows all and Allah watches all. Remember that story of the student of Ghazali who caught three of his students and said, "Here is a dinar, go and hide it where nobody can see." And the three students came back, and the two said, "Yes, we put it in an ideal place, nobody can find it." The third, the youngest student, came back and gave the dinar back to Ghazali and said, "I cannot find any place where Allah cannot see it." Do you see that? That internal haya, to know that Allah is watching, Allah is looking, Allah knows. This is what we need to instill in our children from the time that they are 2 years old. My grandmother, who is my mentor and my teacher, never used to tell us, "Wait till your dad comes home, or you are going to be grounded, or you are going to be punished." All she had to say to us is this what Allah would want you to do? Is Allah pleased with you? Allah is watching you. And I can tell you, that was more than any Cain could have done for us. Because that connection with the Creator was being created at age 2 to reach to a point that you become a muttaqi, you are conscious all the time of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there. The basir, the seer, the watcher, the knower. So that is the haya that we need to develop. And the third type of haya is the haya with others. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, like for your brother what you like for yourself. Right? Well, are we following that advice? Because we really are becoming an ummah. We want for others what we don't want for ourselves. These are the causes, and the symptoms are what you heard all day today. They're merely symptoms. And when we talk about shura, the third M. We've done the mercy and the modesty. The third M, if it's not present, you have a dysfunctional family, is moderation. Qanaat. Because if you don't have moderation, if you don't have qanaat, you will cross the line. You are a family that is prone to exaggeration, prone to addiction. I remember in one of the conferences that I was, there was a brother who had converted to Islam but also used to be in a gang. Actually, he was a leader in the gang. And they used to push drugs. And we had called him to talk to the counselors about how to address drug addiction. And he said something which has stuck to me to this day. He said, all the therapeutic tools out there in the mainstream are not long-term helpful because, and he said Islam he found to be helpful in dealing with drug addiction is because Islam, the connection that you have with your Creator that Islam establishes, kills the appetite. Children are taking drugs because there is something lacking in their lives. There is an appetite for drug, an appetite to feel high, an appetite to withdraw, an appetite to have a retreat, an appetite to have a high. Why? Something is lacking. And Islam fills that void. Islam kills the appetite. So you and I should not be looking to counsel them and be a good Muslim, but rather be counseling them to what Islam offers. You want a high? Subhanallah. Sit down and let's have dhikr. And you will know what high is. Okay? You want to feel that you belong? Read the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will find your position in this life, in this ummah, in this world, in this universe. This is the approach that Islamic counseling needs to take, and inshallah is taking. Because we have the answer. I have no doubt in my mind, as Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that yes, shaitan will try to discredit you, to take your attention away and make you careless in little things in your deen. But if you hold on to the Quran and the Hadith, you will be okay. So he didn't say everything will be fine. He said yes, there will be problems. But the ultimate, the desperation will not be there. So when you have qanaat, when you are happy with what you have, see, subhanAllah, give you an example. A family comes to me and says, you know, our children, they are never thankful, they are always wanting more, and I am fed up of providing and providing. These children are takers and takers and takers. So you start an evaluation, an assessment. How did they get there? Well, brother, you were killing yourself while these kids were growing up with 3 jobs. Why? Oh, well, I had to provide a TV, a computer, a car, whatnot. Did the children know that you were killing yourself to provide it? You created an appetite for expensive things, for designer clothes, for cars, for big mansion. Now you're complaining that they want it. So the qanaat, the moderation is lacking. And moderation also in your deen, subhanallah. All of you know, mashallah, more than I, the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where the three of his companions came and one said, you know, I fast all the time, and one said, I do dhikr all night, and the other said, and the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, who is best among you? And he said, oh, Rasulullah, you of course. He said, well, I fast and I don't. Right? I pray and I sleep. The balance is what comes from qanaat and moderation. The shukr comes from qanaat and moderation. So these are the ends. But the second principle, which is so amazing if you just reflect, because Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly telling us, this is a revelation for those who understand, for those who reflect, for those who have reason, and those who use that reason. It's not a book to close your reason and mind, it's a book to open your mind. And we have used it to close our minds. Subhanallah. Okay? Open up your minds. What is that principle? Subhanallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Muslims, when you conduct your affairs, conduct it by shura. Subhanallah. Whether it's in the family or in the community, consultation. But let me concentrate on the family. How does it work? Your child is 5 years old. You have to decide which school to put them in. You know what? Do shura. Sit down on a dinner table and discuss and talk. Let your child listen and see how you and your wife consult. How you and your wife come to a resolution. Either a consensus or a compromise. And maybe include them in there. Not for them to make the decision, but for them to give their opinion. You know what happens then? You are starting to train your child to think, to analyze, to make a decision, to weigh the strong points in the book, and you're guiding them. So he says, no, mom, I think I want to go to the school that my cousin goes to. So he's made a point. You don't say, oh stupid, keep quiet, you don't know. No. You say, okay, why? Okay, now you're challenging this child to tell you why. What are you actually training him for? For the so-called famous peer pressure that we all talk about. If you teach your child at home how to question, how to analyze, how to weigh the pros and the cons, when he is out there and he's being told to do certain things, you know what you have trained him to do? Why? You have asked him, you're training him to use his God-given gift of reason. Subhanallah. And what you are using as your frame of reference is Islam. Okay? No other experts. We need no other experts. You're using Islam. So these are some of the techniques, inshallah. I'm sorry, I just have 2 minutes left. So I will end with just to read for you, for your benefit, as to who a critic, we have what we call a dysfunctional father and a dysfunctional mother. Okay? And I will quickly read through these. What makes a dysfunctional father among Muslims and what makes a dysfunctional mother? And if you find yourselves in that category, brothers and sisters, or young people, please seek help. The dysfunctional father is critical dad. There are constant put downs and criticism which leads to low self-esteem in the children. Fathers are not aware what they are doing, anything wrong, and children don't feel validated. This is something to watch out for. Constant and continuous criticism. Nothing is good enough. Second is a smart aleck dad. Okay? He's sarcastic, he's cynical, he's belittling, he is remote and he denies any feelings. Okay? Then there is a passive dad. who is non-assertive. Children doubtful, they don't know if they can depend on dad or not. Totally takes a backseat to parenting. Okay? Has nothing to do with the family. Then there is the self-centered dad, who is the king of the castle. He has no empathy for anyone. Everything must be his way or no way. Okay? Then there is the hostile, abusive dad. We all know what that means, right? He's angry, he hurts, and children feel they always have to be on guard when dad comes. I remember one of the imams in their khutbah said something so funny, but at the same time so insightful. He says, "Brothers, do you want to be the kind of husband that when you leave home, the wife says, 'Alhamdulillah,' and that when you come home, she says, 'A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim'? So it's up to you what you want to be. Neglectful. It is just one, not there on the time for kids. He has no time for the kids. But unfortunately may have time for the entire community. I know I'm running out of time, right? Okay. I want to be fair. There are dysfunctional mothers as well. Okay, so let's go with them. They're smothering. Over-involved mother. "You are my man." Telling a seven-year-old boy, "Son, take care of me." Okay? Dependent. Mother goes into crisis all the time. Child has to take care of the mother. Child does not feel safe. I remember getting a call from a mother who was totally falling apart, and she had these two little kids taking care of her, who called me that mom is in trouble. I don't have patience for this. And I called the sister on the, I said, "Who is the mother here? The kids or you? What the heck is wrong with you?" Okay? The kids were trying to take care of her because for some reason she was falling apart. Then the seductive mother, this is, I will leave this for this gathering, but that's more that when we do training for kids, for social workers. Martyr, and this I see so many times, sisters, okay? I think we love this martyr syndrome. "I do it all for you." Okay? "I take the abuse, I take this, I do it just for you kids." The guilt that they put on this poor child. The other thing is abandoning, preoccupied with herself. You will find this mother all the time in the mall, or all the time doing community work, or whatever, but has very little time for the child. And then critical again, like the father, is always criticizing and hostile and abusive. Yes, believe me, women can be abusive as well. And they are. And we have seen it. But the kind of abuse that women inflict on their husbands is more to do with their tongues. Okay? The constant put down and the constant emotional abuse. So these are the dysfunctional parents, and I hope inshallah that none of you fall in these categories. But you may know someone, okay? So just in case, that helps. Inshallah. So I will leave it at that, and I hope we have time for some questions. Jazakallah khair.
Now, I just want to give, because we've been talking of such a difficult topic today, and I don't want some of you to leave today feeling burdened that things are bad. You know, subhanAllah, yes, we have problems, but things are good. Okay? Just the fact, subhanAllah, that today so many of you showed up to talk about difficult issues, to me is something to be thankful about, to take heart into it. The fact that in our masajids, we are addressing topics of wife abuse, or spousal abuse, or addiction, alhamdulillah, is a very positive thing. So I think we need to take heart in that. Alhamdulillah, I go back home tomorrow, and Monday we are starting a week-long training program for Muslim volunteers in social work and counseling from the Islamic perspective. And there are young people coming from across Canada. Fortunately, we only have one young person from Kingston coming. We don't have any from Toronto. Who will be trained by Muslim experts from an Islamic perspective. And inshallah, what we are trying at ISA to do is prepare people who are trained not only in the mainstream, but also Islamically, so that they can address the needs of the community. And this is what we need to do. It is not something that will happen overnight, but inshallah we have started the process. So please do take heart that as bad as things may be for our youth or for our families, they are not as bad. And that there is hope, because as believers, we believe that as long as you believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and hold on to His book, there is hope. This is a trial. This is a growing pain for our community, because we are new, we are just establishing ourselves. But inshaAllah, every day I see success stories. And so inshaAllah this means take heart. This is good. I was wondering what the qualities of a functional mother and father would be. Just the opposite of what a dysfunctional would be. They would not be critical, they would not be abusive, they would spend time with their children, they would listen to their children, they would honor them, they would respect them, and it would be a reciprocal relationship. And they would have the three M's in their relationship. They would have a lot of shura. Show me a family that has shura as a basis of their component, and I'll show you a functional family. And shura does not mean that they always agree. Okay? Shura means that they are able to, beyond their differences, to come to a resolution. You mentioned women abusing their husbands with their hands. What should husbands do to respond? Because they can't pick on little things and talk back. I think, brothers, as I said previously, sit down and have a talk and tell your wife that what she says to you is hurtful. Because sometimes we don't do that. We don't tell our spouses what is bothering us, right? We just keep it inside and we keep getting upset about it and abusive and feel resentful. So please talk to your wife. And then, if not, seek marriage counseling, which is very, very important. Because, you know, most of us are coming from immigrant backgrounds. There was no such thing as a counselor or a marriage counselor. You went to your grandmother, you went to your aunt, or you went to your cousin. So, we don't know this idea, but there are Muslims who are doing marriage counseling from an Islamic perspective, and even if it's a non-Muslim. Alhamdulillah, our organization, ISA, received a grant from the Canadian Heritage. And on October 11, inshallah, I'm launching that public education project that is complete. Thereby, we have manuals for mainstream social service providers on how to address the needs of Muslims, how to counsel Muslims, how to provide social services for Muslims. And we have listed for them our worldview based on Islamic principles. And inshallah, this manual will be made available to the social service providers across Canada, inshallah. And so this is the first step in trying to give an alternative to the policies or to the techniques that are already out there, inshallah. How do you learn to deal with aging parents and their nagging as we became adults? And how do we get out of the pattern of taking our parents for granted? SubhanAllah, you're talking to someone who has an elderly mother living with her. Alhamdulillah, we have three sisters in Winnipeg who share the responsibility, and my mother is in ill health and sometimes forgets and has to repeat five times something. SubhanAllah, and every time we remind ourselves of the ayah in the Quran that do not say even no to your parents. And I remind myself all the time of the difficulty that my mother had bringing me up, and this is really nothing. And I will tell you, a man came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is always a very emotional comment to relate. He came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Ya Rasulullah, I do so much for my mother. I carry her. I have done the Hajj with her on my back. I feed her, you know, all that." And the Prophet didn't say anything. He came back, again said some more things that he did for her, the third time again, and the Prophet said, "You do it for her, knowing that she will die. She did it for you, knowing that you have a long life ahead of you." She did, you are doing it for her, knowing that she would die. She's a female lady. She did it for you, knowing that you have a long life ahead of you. So what is a little nanny? Subhanallah. My sisters and I, the way we deal with it, is, okay, mom, here we go again. And then she laughs. She says, yeah, I know, I have said this many times. But subhanallah, to have that voice in my home, that person who does dhikr 24 hours, the person who is concerned about my welfare, where did I get it? And from whom did I get it? And we are here sitting and talking about problems you have with our parents, subhanAllah.